about who is, he'd do his administrative stuff in the morning and then later in the afternoon. They just had zero money, we're doing nothing.
Welcome to Happy Valley City Council Work Session. Today is Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. We will go over the regular agenda items and see if there's any questions, and then we'll continue on to the work session. So, any questions, council, on the minutes from June 5th, work regular, June 19th work, and resolution on the consent? Everybody comfortable? Presentations? Any, I would imagine, fairly basic? Any questions? No. And resolution 1842 and 1844. Any questions for staff on that to get ready for me? Public hearing, ordinance number 539. Anybody? Okay. All right, so I don't see anything that we have to change, so why don't we go ahead and start on our work session. Mr. Tuck, which has begun, you can introduce us to our guest.
Yeah.
And we'll start from there.
We'll do that at the end.
Okay.
Good evening. This report is the result of multiple years worth of work that we were doing on looking at strategies for funding our transportation maintenance of our existing roadways in order to save ourselves money in the long term. As the roads get older and not maintained, they get more expensive to fix. So, there was a new bill that came out of the legislature in 2017, and it provided more state shared revenue for the city. So we took a look at that, added it to our five-year plan, and then the work that our consultants did to look at our existing payment quality. And I think the results look pretty good. So what is not included in this, and a topic for the future, is what do we do about sidewalks, funding for sidewalks, and reverse frontage situations also. But that's not the topic of tonight, but I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Randall, and he can deliver the good news.
Yes, thank you, Manager Tuck. Chris Randall, Public Works Director. I'll give you a quick overview, and then I'll turn it over to Joel and introduce him formally here in a second. So CAPS, Capital Asset and Pavement Services, CAPS, has been working with us over the last couple, about 3 months now, I would guess, on a condition assessment. So we got a condition assessment, we got an overall pavement rating for our community, so we know what we rank overall. We've done a review of every street and know what the pavement rating is on every street. We have a projected price for repairing those streets, and then we've got a needs report for 10 years. So we have a needs report. And what we also have is they've run a couple of scenarios for us, which you guys had, that we backfed into the five-year plan to see how we could fund them over time. So that's kind of what's going on. But some background, we last talked about this during a TMS discussion. We knew we had three things coming at us. We had the House bill that Manager Tuck talked about, the 2017. We had an increase going on in our local gas tax here just based on usage. We're not adding any stations, but we have higher usage. And we also know that we're getting more state shared revenue based on growth overall. So we were able to then, what we knew then is we needed to do a review of our system. We need to find out exactly where we fall and have a finite review. Drive every street, review every street, walk the majority of all our streets, and go from there. So we were able to do that, get the number, backfeed that into the five-year plan, and look at those projections moving forward. We have some scenarios to show you. As a side note to all of that, this effort that we did, the House Bill 2017 requires that we do some state reporting every year now to ensure that we get their tiered increases into the future. And I believe, Joel, can you confirm this? Isn't it January that those reports are due?
Each year, January starting in 2019.
So anyway, we'll do that, and then we have to update that each year and get them to it because we don't want to miss out on any revenue, as you guys know. So with that quick introduction, I'll introduce Joel Condor with CAPS, and he can go through the report. He's got a PowerPoint that he put together, and then answer any questions you guys may have for sure. And where we're at.
Welcome, Joel.
Thank you for being
here and working with the city for the last few months, and thank you for this report.
Thank you very much for having me. Like Chris said, my name is Joel Condor, and I work with Capital Asset. We are a pavement management firm based out of Salem, and we are the only pavement management firm in Oregon. There are a few firms that do what we do, but we specialize just in pavement management.
Joel, I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay.
You work, Joel, Katz also worked for the city about a decade ago, 10 years ago, and did the same process for us. So just a heads up for that.
15 years ago, wasn't it?
Well,
I think it was 03. In fact, when you guys called me and talked about this, I go, you guys already have a program, and we do? And I did. I came up here in 2003 and did a pavement management program. I can't remember the gentleman I worked with at the time, but.
Bob Galati, I believe.
Yeah, Bob.
Right, Bob,
yeah,
right.
That was right before.
We dusted off that plan a bit with this, and we'll continue those efforts into the future. So digging up bones a little bit, but I wanted to mention that.
Yeah. And we were able to actually retrieve a lot of that old data from 15 years ago. So you have that historical information now within your new program telling you what the pavement condition of all, what you have like 43 miles, centerline miles of streets back then. Of course, you're double that now. So, but we do have that historical information on your street. So it's good information to have. But like I was saying, we are a pavement management firm. We do this all up and down the West Coast. We probably have a little over 200 clients. We do just about every city in the Portland metropolitan area. I'm trying to think if there's a city we don't, Beaverton. We don't do Beaverton. But and Portland, city of Portland. So those are the only two. But we helped set Portland's up, and we did Beaverton's for many years, and now they've switched programs. So, but other than that, every city in the Portland metro area, we do the pavement management for. So I get a look at all the streets, all the cities, and I can give you a comparison on how you guys stack up against the other cities. So, and I'll touch on that a little bit as we move forward in this thing. So I am a longtime agency person, 30 years with Marion County down in the Salem area as the operations manager down there. So I have a lot of experience working in government and being a government employee. And I'm glad I'm not anymore. Because they had this wonderful thing called PERS they took away, so. So what is it now, IAP or something, whatever it is now? I guess you guys are probably in that, right? So, yeah. So
tier, not
mine. Tier, yeah. So I've sat on that side of the table, and I'm sitting on this side of the table. So, but like I said, I retired, and I needed something to do, and this is what I did for the county. I did the pavement management system for the county. And back in the early 90s, when we first implemented it, a lot of other cities and counties said, hey, we want a pavement management system. So the county loaned me out for 15 years. They set me out. And I was just talking to Chris that we did this for West Lynn and Oregon City back in the 90s when I was still a county employee. So but then some other contractors came around that do what I do and said, that isn't right, so you shouldn't be doing it. So we quit doing it. And so when I retired, I picked right back up where I left off. So that's what brought me here today. And when we did you guys 15 years ago, I was still with the county when we did you guys originally. So the city actually had a contract with Marion County and an intergovernmental agreement. So that's just a little bit of history on that. I've been doing this a very, very long time, since 1990. So, and with that, I'll just go ahead and jump into my presentation here. And I'll just give you a quick rundown on what a pavement management system is. It is a computerized inventory tool. What happens, like Chris was mentioning about, we measured every single street. We got the length, we got the width, we got the surface type, we got the year constructed, we put all that stuff into the database. And then after we did all that, we went by and we did an inspection. Like you said, we walked every street, we counted all the cracks, patches, anything wrong with the pavement, we counted, we put into this program. And that's really what a pavement management system is. It has built-in algorithms to basically, to kind of summarize it, it's to give you the optimum treatment in the optimum year. So you're not wasting money. You're not guessing, oh, maybe this street needs it worse than this street. It tries to take the political decisions out, which I'm sure you can't always do, but there's pressure from citizens, and some, as you know, citizens lean harder than other citizens. We want ours fixed, or we don't want ours fixed. I hear that a lot. So this program, a pavement management system, basically uses a cost-effectiveness number and says, okay, here's City of Happy Valley. Here's the right treatment in the right year and the right time. So it shows the effects of the maintenance decisions before and after. So if you go out and say, okay, we want to spend this much money doing this type of treatments, let's put it in there and see what happens. And then you can run scenarios and say, well, we get a lot bigger, better bang for our buck if we go this direction instead of this direction. Say we want to start using slurry seals or cape seals or, you know, micro-surfacing or thin overlays. You can use all those things. You can run them through the program, and it tells you where your best bang is for your buck. So it's a wonderful tool. It also tells you if you guys decide to cut funding, increase funding, you guys can find out what the effects will be. It has a crystal ball that looks out into the future, and we have some of that in those scenarios we're going to show you here in a few minutes. You're going to hear the acronym PCI a lot tonight. That's what I'm going to talk about, a pavement condition index from 0 to 100. A 0 is a road that's gone just about back to gravel, and 100 is a brand new street. As soon as the contractors pave it, drive off, that street's 100. And you guys have a few of those because you have a lot of new streets here in town, so you have some 100 PCIs. 0, you don't have any zeros. You got a couple that were way down there, but not very many. And I couldn't even believe they were city streets by the time I got out there and found them. I'm like, how is this a city street? I'm not even in the city anymore. But you've got some little enclaves, I think, around your city here that, and I've been up and down every Clackamas County Road forever, so I kind of understand where a lot of your streets have, you guys have annexed in from the county. So a lot of them weren't, not a lot of them, but some of them are not built to the standards that you guys require today within an urban environment. They were farm to market roads, they were gravel roads, they just put a layer of oil on them in the 50s and 60s, and maybe in the 70s they finally put some pavement on them or something, and now they're yours. So you guys know what you're getting there. So you do have some of those older roads like that that I came across. So the software that we're using is called StreetSaver. It's the predominant software in the Northwest, on the whole West Coast actually. It comes out of California. It's owned by an MPO in the San Francisco Bay Area. So we chose to go with StreetSaver software back in the early 90s when all the softwares came out kind of at once within a five-year period. Pavement management just took off, and there was all sorts of different programs. And we decided to go with StreetSaver at Marion County, and then the Association of Oregon Counties adopted it statewide because we realized it was owned by an MPO, and it wasn't this proprietary software that's here today, gone tomorrow, or we're changing that version, or a company would buy it out and say, now you've got to buy the new improved version. We didn't want that happening, so it's public domain software now. So that's the beauty of the StreetSaver system, and it is the most popular payment management software, and that's what you guys are using. So kudos for making the right choice there, because a few people don't make that choice, and they're very sorry usually. And I mean, a prime example, City of Klamath Falls put out an RFP. We came in, we showed it to them. They decided to go with a firm out of Florida instead. And within a year, that company was completely bankrupt and out of business. And then they had to call me and, sorry, we made a mistake. Can you give us your software? So
in coordinating with Clackamas County in the future, when we're negotiating roads, annexation versus not, they're using the same program. DOC is adopted, so I'm assuming Clackamas County.
Yes.
So that's a good thing that the council, future councils, can put in parameters of, we could take the decision making out of that too, almost. Anything over and above this, or anything, you know, maybe we're looking at, but it's good to have the data to negotiate and set our own parameters so we don't have to haggle every single time there's an annexation. So.
Right. Yep. And they have the history.
Yeah.
And so they can look at it and say, okay, you can actually pull those roads over into your program, run some funding scenarios and say, okay, the program's saying over the next 20 years, it's going to cost this much to maintain these streets. You guys are apples to apples now. So
that's right. It's negotiated out.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a wonderful, but you know, it took Clackamas County forever to get there. They actually went to back in the old days when AOC made the statewide effort to go with StreetSaver. They were involved in that in the early 90s, but it didn't take long, and they got a new director in, and he abandoned it, and he brought the program in he had from Florida or someplace, and then they since went through 3, 4, or 5 different programs, and finally their new director, not their new director, but somebody within there, Randy Harmon, was able to push the agenda. Hey, why don't we use what everybody's using so we're all on the same page, because all of these cities in Clackamas County are using StreetSaver, so we're all on the same page now, so that's a great thing. So the City of Happy Valley's current PCI equals an 82, and what I mean by that is a network-wide PCI is 82. So you can see you guys had 73.2 centerline miles of paved streets, 7.7 miles of arterials, a little over 9 miles of collectors, and a majority of, as you know, 56 miles plus is local access streets. So that's kind of a little unusual. Usually those in most cities that arterial and collectors higher, but you guys are definitely a rural bedroom community here, you know, so your local streets are a lot higher than most agencies. You can see that the percent of your networks, 90% isn't good, and I will tell you that I have been doing this a very, very long time, and you are the very first city that I've ever sat down in the state of Oregon and said 90% of your network is good. So kudos to you guys. Now, you've taken care of the streets that you have, obviously, but I know a big part of that is your newness. You have a lot of new streets here, and those 100 PCIs are bumping everything up. So this is optimum. This is really what most cities would give anything to be in your guys' shape right now, with a little less than 8% of your roads in fair, and that's the PCI from 50 to 70. So those are streets that need some help and should have maintenance done on them, and they're 50 to 70 for sure. You have just a little over 2% of your network is either poor or very poor, and that's highly unusual too. That very poor, most cities will see that around 8 or 9%. The poor is usually in that 12 to 14%, so you guys are doing great there. So, yeah, kudos to you guys. You guys are very fortunate. The one thing I will say about this, and I had the same conversation with a couple other agencies, you guys are new, so you guys are in great shape, but there's going to be a huge debt come due in a few years when all these streets come due at the same time, and they will. And, you know, most people that know anything about pavement design, it's 20-year life cycle. You can get more out of pavements if you do proper seal coats and crack seals and sweep them and keep them clean and free of debris and so forth like that. You can buy 30, 35 years out of a street. But come 20, 25 years, when most of these streets were built, they're going to come due. You're going to have a huge bill due. So City of Wilsonville is going through that right now. They grew like crazy there in the 90s, and now they're paying the price right now. So that's the good news, bad news for you guys right there. So this is our pavement deterioration curve, and you can see the years along the bottom, kind of 20 years life cycle of pavement. The condition over on the side is your PCI basically, and that's your poor, very poor, good, so forth. I like to call this graph the pay me now or pay me later graph, because this is really what it's about. When pavement, it's pretty much just like the siding on your house, you know, and you got a new house and the siding looked great, your house looks great. I mean, you know, a few years go down the road, should you paint your house or should you just let it wait till the siding rots and falls off? Well, that's the same thing with pavement. I mean, do we just leave it alone until it cracks and falls apart and we got to rip it out and replace it? No, the idea is to do cost-effective preventive maintenance at the right time. And you can see by this graph there, the right time to do it is when that green starts turning to yellow. When it gets right to that, between that good and fair, there's where we want to catch it. And if we can catch it, it says right there, additional 40% drop in the next 12% service life. You can see there's that quick drop really quick there. So, I mean, we can, $12,000 a mile, a lane mile right now, you can treat a road with a good seal coat. You can crack seal it and put a slurry seal on it and really extend the life of the pavement. Well, you let that stuff go and it falls into the overlay and you're doing actually hot mix overlays, you can see the difference, $325,000. So do you want to spend $12,000 or do you want to spend $325,000 a mile? That's really where you're
80
at.
80 miles.
Right?
A lane mile.
No, but we have 79,
yeah.
80 miles.
Uh-huh.
So $1 million a year, we can keep it good to fair all the time. Bingo.
Got it.
Jump ahead. You read the last page, didn't
yeah.
you?
Oh, that's too funny. Now you got to remember though, with I think we ran 10-year scenarios, aren't we? Looking at 10-year scenarios today.
You do. Yes.
You've got to remember with asphalt, you can only put seal coats on it so many times. It's usually two. Sometimes you can squeeze three out of it. At some point, you're going to have to structurally improve the road. The weighting of the trucks, the garbage trucks, the buses, all that kind of stuff, it takes its tolls, and seal coats don't prevent against that. So within a 25-year cycle, you're probably going to have to look at starting to do some structural improvements to the pavement. So, putting seal coats on for 12,000 a mile is a great idea. It's a wonderful idea, but you can only get away with it so long. We ran four different scenarios, I believe, and the first scenario we ran is your need scenario. And this is your blank check. This is, okay, City of Happy Valley, Chris, you got all the money in the world, what do you want to do? And that's what this is. And so this tells us, again, usually when I look up at this, most of the city councils, mayors that I'm addressing tell me, well, this is kind of sticker shock. Because they'll look up there and they'll say, okay, we need to spend $55 million over 10 years, and our budget is $650,000 a year. It's unrealistic. There's no way we're spending that money. Well, with Happy Valley, you need $10.8 million over 10 years. And I believe your budget now is $10 million, correct?
Yeah, we can support 10, we can support 1.1 million.
So. Yeah, so So that's what you need, just a little under, yeah.
Which is...
A year. So you guys are right there for having the optimum budget and the optimum network condition, so. You can see here that it's, it says that it, PCI increases 2 points. This is it, spending 10.8 million over 10 years. It's kind of deceiving because you look at it and it says 88's your PCI and at 83, well, how's that increasing at 2 points? That's not increasing at 2 points. The way the program works, the algorithms that are within the pavement management system front-end load all the money. So they're saying, go out, you've got this 10 million. They're basically telling you to spend 8.2 million, you can see, in the first couple of years, and then only 2.6 over the last few years. What that means is you have a lot of roads that are teetering between the good and fair condition. They're just kind of teetering right there, so let's hurry up and grab them while they're good before they fall into fair. Because with a good road, you can get by with a seal coat and crack sealing. A fair road, you've lost the window to do that preventive maintenance. Now you're into overlays. So that's why it's front-end loading and it's telling you. So that's that happens with cities that have newer networks like you guys have. So that's what the program is telling you. Because that's really unusual to see 8.2 million fired way in the first couple of years and then only 2.6 over the last 5 years. So, but that's why the PCI jumps up so high, because you're getting all those roads and you're really bringing the PCIs up high real quickly. So that's why that's a deceiving kind of graph right there. The next scenario is scenario two, is your current investment level. And this is what you're spending currently, $1 million a year over 10 years. And again, it wants you to kind of front-end load that thing a little bit, and that's why it jumps up to 84 up there real quick. Now that 84 is after this year's treatments. So you guys have a program this year, I believe. You guys got projects that are out the door, and I believe Paul put those in our office, put those in the program.
Them, yes.
So your PCI jumps to 84. So that 84 is a little deceiving. That's after this summer's work is done. So that, and you're raising your PCI up. So, and then you can see the steady decrease, and then you drop to an 81 over the 10-year period. So the line at the bottom, the red lines at the bottom, that's your deferred maintenance. That's how much work you're putting off right now because you don't have quite enough money to do the work. If you go back to scenario one, you see there's no red line, there's no deferred maintenance because this is needs. This is what you need to maintain your network, so there is no deferred maintenance. Right now, you currently have, with the budget you have going on, you can see it's about $3.5 million right there. Right currently, you're behind the eight ball on, but spending like you are over the next 10 years, you can see you knock it all the way down to about 300,000 by year 10. So you're trending definitely in the right direction. So, and that's really unusual because almost every presentation I do like this, it's tilted the other way and deferred maintenance just goes up and up and up. So you guys are very fortunate in that aspect.
One clarification?
Oh,
question,
sure.
Sorry, Councilor Sherman.
Just to make sure I'm on the same page, so this one's actually 10 million over 10 years, correct? Not the 1 million stated in the title?
This is 1 million, oh yeah, it's 10
yeah,
million.
Yeah.
Oh,
just to make sure.
1 million a year over
10
years.
10.8 front loaded.
Right.
To 10 million equally spaced, and now we're going to go to a little higher equally spaced. Okay.
Yeah, that says 1 million over 10 years, and it is 1 million a year.
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years, yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Good catch.
And the goal there would be that we're only spending 300,000 to save the delta, because we're not going to be able to crack seal probably after 10 years. We're going to have to start putting more into it later, so you don't have to necessarily.
So scenario three is maintain current PCI. So here today we're at this PCI, we talked about 82. We talked about that's what your network PCI is today. So it's telling you you need to spend 10.7 million over 10 years just to stay where you're at. So you're really close to the needs. Remember the needs was I think 10.8, so you're just a few dollars below it. So this maintains your PCI. So 10 years from now, I don't know how many of you will be sitting here in this room as a counselor. I don't know where I live. They just recalled half the council. So the city of Almsville down outside of Salem, they just recalled three counselors and they're going to vote the other four out in November. So
wow.
All because they passed a $12 fee to keep police 24 hours a day. So, which everybody wanted, but they felt like it got a gram down their throat. So, but anyway, but you know, 10 years from now, usually whoever's sitting in these seats that you people are sitting in tonight will, should see the same result. They should see the road condition, the street condition, in the same condition it is today based on your current funding, if you guys keep spending the way you are. So those numbers will inflate, of course, with inflation over time, and then as you guys start grabbing more of Clackamas County's roads. Scenario four is the zero funding, and this is not spending any money over 10 years, and this is what happens to your network. A lot of people say, Joel, why do you put this graph up there? That's not realistic. You would be surprised how many agencies have spent zero over years. And I was just talking to Chris about it. West Lynn went 4 years without spending a single penny on preventive maintenance overlays or anything. And they used all their money for traffic lights and beauty strips, and there was all sorts of stuff they did there. Street lighting, yeah, it was amazing. And now they're so far behind the eight ball, I don't know how they're gonna catch up without going out for a special bond or something. So this is kind of shows the effect if you don't spend money, how quickly you go down. And for the agencies that are 65, now Gladstone is a 65, their PCI is a 65. They have, Gladstone right now has over $40 million in deferred maintenance. I have no idea how that city will ever catch up. We ran some 20-year scenarios trying to show them how to catch up, and they just came back and says that's unrealistic, it'll never happen here. So I think that they've just kind of resolved the fact that their streets are crappy and they're gonna stay crappy, and I feel bad for the citizens that have to drive on them because they're terrible streets in that town. So this is what happens if you don't do anything for 10 years. So you get the idea. You've dropped from the low 80s to the mid 60s. So there's only one public agency within the entire state of Oregon that has a PCI below that 50 you see over there. And that happens to be Tillamook County. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Tillamook County, but It's the worst streets I have ever seen in my life. They're terrible. But, you know, some of those roads, when we go over there to rate them, we have to read the tide table because the tide comes in and it covers the road. Why the tide's in and the tide goes out, and now we can get in and rate them, and the citizens who live on those roads have to wait for the tide to go out before they can go to the store. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, so here's a map of your city today, and kind of a weird layout the way everything is. Usually cities are cities, but you've got stuff all over the place here. And little enclaves out here and there, and streets down. In fact, there's a couple streets that aren't even on this map, I don't think, that are still within the city limits. So, but the green roads are all roads that are obviously in very good in condition category one. They're very good. The blue roads are in the good condition. And you can see the yellow roads are the fair, and the orange, and then the red it drops into. You don't see a lot of orange and red on this map, which is a very, very good thing. Usually when I pull this map up for most cities, it looks like a rainbow across there, but you guys are in very good condition with everything green and yellow. If you're a Duck fan, you probably love it, but I'm an OSU guy, so I don't like this map, so I'm gonna have to change those colors. I don't have enough orange on there.
Well, then change the legend.
Yeah, change the legend.
We're good with green and yellow.
Yeah, I figured it was
perfectly acceptable.
Need more orange.
Yeah, there we go. Did I say Omaha? Oh, no, never mind.
Oh,
I won't bring that up. So your scenario PCI condition, this is your unconstrained needs. This is the one with the blank check I was telling you about. And so this has got all the money in the world. You see everything turns green. So, I mean, we've got a few blue out there, a couple of them. And that's just because we're just the way within the 10 years, they're probably year 11 or year 12 that they're probably slated for a treatment. So, but that looks obviously perfect when you see a map that looks like that. This is your current funding. You can see now we've got a few more yellow roads that are in there, but again, not very many. That looks very, very good. So that's a great thing. Maintain current PCI, again, it looks all green, just a couple of yellow roads on there. It looks really nice on there, and you still see that blue road on there. Zero funding, you can see we start to get a lot more orange on there, and we got some red popping up in there, so this is what happens when you don't apply anything, and you can see how the yellow is really taking over in there. The green roads are still in pretty good condition because you have so many new roads in there, and their PCI is in the 90s and above, and it's going to take way more than 10 years for those to fall into that fair condition category below 50. So if you look at a 20-year scenario, that thing would be almost all yellow and orange. And this graph, this slide here just kind of compiles everything together so you can look at all four funding scenarios at once and kind of do the math yourself. And I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory what's going on here. You can see that halfway down that PCI after 10 years, we're pretty much staying between 81, 83. That's a great PCI, but except for the far one to the right, you fall down there into the 60s. So, and you can also see the backlog after 10 years, you know, obviously with the needs, so that's blank checks, zero, 300,000 current, zero at the 1 point. If you just increase it a slight bit, you have zero, and then of course, you're 13 million behind the ball if you do nothing. So, and the bottom ones basically tell you a percent of the network that's in good condition, fair and poor, and so forth like that. So that's just a snapshot of all the scenarios. And I believe that's it. That's all I've got to show here. So if you guys got any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Sure, we do. Questions, counselors, comments, or Chris, anything to add?
I don't have anything to add outside.
How surprised or pleased were you?
I'm not surprised overall. Joel talked to us early on, Carol and myself, about you're going to get a sticker shock. And so that made me awful nervous to start with. I'm thinking, well, how far off are we? We just did a bunch of transportation maintenance fee looks and work to come up with the scenarios that you saw, the $3 million plus in backlog. Like, am I off that far? I was very happy to see this report come in really consistent with that effort, and I think Carol can probably echo that. And then to see that our increase in funding is going to potentially support what we have moving forward, we're going to have to look at that each year during the budget process, but that's also a positive in my mind, too. So those are the two things that are big takeouts for me. We're on track with where I thought we would be, and we're on track with funding, and so we need to continue to monitor that into the future.
Council President?
Just a comment is, I'm pretty impressed. This is good news, I think, for the city. I have to say some kudos to Chris, because he's been trying to manage these over the years and has done some things that is different than other cities do, I think, to save money and make our dollars go farther. So kudos to him, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, councilors? Councilor Sherman and Councilor Drake.
Just a quick question on one of the pieces of information in the broader document. The executive summary shows, this is on table one, packet page 23, talks about the scenarios, but it actually shows $1.2 million for scenario three versus our summary PowerPoint that shows $1.1 million per year.
Mm-hmm. It rounds a lot of times.
Just
round.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Otherwise, everything else looks good. And I guess, so the other thing I noticed was on the unconstrained needs, the annual expenditure is pretty doable. The front load is like $4 million and some change in year one. That's kind of the hurdle, right? And the rest
that's
of it
what we've
is
always talked about is that backlog. What do we have as a backlog? The $4 million.
But then one of the conclusions drawn is that, you know, the unconstrained needs is you're fixing things now, not necessarily even the bad stuff. You're fixing even the medium stuff,
right,
because it costs you less in the long run,
right,
and you end up, by spending generally the same amount over the long term, you end up with a much higher quality index across the board.
Kind of. If you delay some of that, if you don't front end load it, then I think one of the reports shows it's going to be a little over $2 million you're going to pay more if you drag it out the 10 years and you don't front end load it. So that's, you know, just based on the condition of the road now and inflation and everything else. So there is a price to pay if you do not front.
Right. So all things being equal, if money is no object, your recommendation is you front load it, use scenario one, you get everything in good standing initially,
right,
and then you take care of it.
Right, exactly.
And then from a budgetary perspective, if that doesn't work, then it's the scenario three, which is you increase spending a little bit to try to keep the PCI. You could, if you choose to keep the PCI intact.
Right,
you do it
exactly.
That way.
And we saw as over time, we do chew away at that formative
improvement.
Yeah. Councilor Drake?
What inflationary rate did you use?
When we ran on this one, we ran 2.5 on this one.
That's about the engineering index standard over the last decade. Yep.
The last 10 years?
Yep.
I don't know that I know that answer.
Okay.
That's kind of industry standard within what we do here, and
yep,
we track all the oil prices and everything else that goes into it. So
it's real similar with what that looks like in the engineering index that we've used before.
Any articles on the going forward, because we have some tariffs, we have some other, you know, economic wars going on,
yeah,
that are going to hurt us, and so those things are going to impact this, I'm sure, to some extent.
right? I know Clackamas County, we're working with them right now, and they've come to us and asked us to increase the inflation factor to 4 for the 10-year scenario, just because that's what they feel more comfortable with. And they don't want any sticker shock, and they'd rather be surprised than, you know, to the good instead of to the bad. So we do have some clients that ask us to increase the inflation factor.
So if you increase the inflation factor to 4%, how do we look?
It does. Well, I haven't run it. I'd have to run it through there, but I'm sure you're.
We can definitely run that scenario and get it back out.
It would increase your needs, definitely.
Yeah. So the other question is, you talk about front loading. So how much money do we have in the budget today to fix these roads and then ongoing?
Annually, we have $1 million, as you saw in that 5-year look. Mm-hmm. And then if we can, in a 10-year look, not in the 5-year look, but in a 10-year look, balance our budget at the $1.1 million a year. That's all we have to front load our money with. So we'll chew away.
Because state share revenue is going up.
It ramps
more
up.
More than what we're currently collecting. So we collect more later.
Councilor Sherman?
A question for Councilor Drake. So one of the things I think I'd be curious about from a broader inflation perspective, I think CPI ran 1.9% annualized for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just talking about TAR, right? Or like some kind of overlays. Would those be impacted? And this is a question for you because I don't know the answer. Are those impacted by inflation to the same extent? I mean, they're produced here in the U.S. We're not importing them. We're labor is labor.
I don't know how much the import that we're going to be using. I mean, I'm not sure of that.
The
so
oil,
I suppose it's oil based, isn't
the
it?
The oil prices are what drive asphalt.
Totally.
That's just 100% the answer. So you have to understand, what does our forecast look for fuel into the future? What does that look like? That crude oil, that's the key. Rock to some extent, but the crude oil is the big thing.
So we've seen an increase in the crude oil prices.
Yeah, we have. Ups and downs. Yeah. We might see a year. If we see consecutive years, then we're definitely going to have to talk about that. But you see a general increase overall, but it's, sometimes you see the spikes and then the dips back down, but it's a general increase, yes.
And so how much percentage increase are we getting with growth, do you think?
In state share revenue?
No, not state share revenue, just growth of the city, I'm sorry, clarify.
How much increase in budget? Budget increase, revenue?
How much revenue dollars are we getting with just increase?
Yeah, we'd have to run a scenario, but Travis does some projections, and what is the projection, Travis, for increase over let's say, the 5-year plan? What's the increase every year?
Well, in year one of the projections, nearly $1.5 million for state share revenues, and if you grow that at, I think we did 5% in this, and then add the additional increases based on
the House Bill
2017, and it's staggered, it's like a ladder, like so in year 3 it goes up, I think, 200,000. So we're doing a growth rate and then plus the increases.
You're
and
also
then in year 5 it ends up at 2 million.
So okay. We projected 5%.
So that's a pretty good scenario. But, and how much, I mean, we're going to be adding streets to the system. Most of those will be new. So they'll be at the 100%. So
annexation versus new construction. That's your question. And the nice thing is that Clackamas County has the same program that we can always double check our findings by and determine what we want to do into the future based on that look. So we can ask Clackamas County for that information at any time. And I think they would share it with us.
Oh yeah. Okay. Definitely. If they don't, call me, I'll share it. I have their database.
So I wasn't surprised at the sticker shock. I mean, that was like, that seems like a deal. Right? It's always a deal, and the way we manage money, we always end up with a little extra because we have a team. So that's good. The one question we talked about, annexation lowers it. The old roads, okay, yeah, we have new roads. We'll maybe stay the same, but negotiate in those. What about technology? So we kind of can't do the new technology of what roads look like over time because we have so many new roads, right? They're already laid, so we got to kind of wait for them.
Right.
We don't have a large percentage of enough to say what the trends look like. What do we build our roads with? Is it cheaper? Is it? But any factor on that?
Well, I think are we talking about the construction of new roads?
Yeah.
Well, those are all built within your standards and what the city requires for their standards. And you
but
know,
product based, not
but
just
product based,
technology-wise.
You know, that's pretty a static industry. You know, asphalt. I mean, it was invented by the Romans, and we really haven't done a whole lot with it since. I mean, they built the Appian Way, and they knew what they were doing, and they figured out asphalt way back in the day. So. There hasn't been a lot of changes. Now there's, now the city of Portland's using a thing called warm mix because they don't want their hot, their mix made in a hot plant because you've got to get asphalt to 350 to 375 degrees. And so Portland's now come up with this new warm mix because it's environmentally better. It's better for the environment.
I got it.
Anyway, and so they have some new technologies with the warm mixes, but they, it's the end of, I mean, the product is so new, it's not time tested yet, so we don't know. They've got it on a test track down in Reno, and they're running vehicles on it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Just got, you know, and they're testing it, but it's going to probably be 5 more years before they figure out, you know, just exactly how good this warm mix is going to hold out. The chip seals are probably the only part of the paving industry that's really made some advances lately. And I know you guys don't want to put chip seals down on your roads because that's a nightmare for anybody who holds a position like Chris's or Carol's or a city councilor or a mayor when you've got rock chips flying as you drive down your street. So I don't know if Clackamas County is doing any chip seals in your city limits, are they?
No.
Okay.
They will contract to do those, but we have transitioned to the 1-inch thin enough to overlay. It just is, it seems like a better product for us over time. So we let the street deteriorate a little bit longer, a little bit farther, and then go with that application. And we have actually backfed that into the street server program and said, we will not do this application. We won't even consider it.
So then that changes the game.
And that changes the game a little bit on our end.
Well, it seems like a good product to have. I like data, right? Data. Input the data, take out the decision, and it's a better education tool for our public as well. You know, this is not hard to explain. But it could be if you couldn't say, well, let me show you your road and where we are and where we are in the time, the life cycle, and where we time we expect to fix it based on barring any changes in the economy and all that kind of stuff. So that's good. That's good. The better, more information we have for our public, the better usually. Councilor Sherman.
So, Mr. Randall, based on this information, have you changed your position as far as what you're currently, you feel that $1 million a year is a good number? Are you looking to increase that? Do you feel you're in good shape?
I would love to get rid of the backlog tomorrow. That would be the best case scenario, obviously, in staff's mind. But if we're chewing at that over time and getting it down to almost 300,000 in the 10-year look, that's progression in my mind. So if we were going to drop the PQI to 70, I would start squeaking more. Just knowing the fact that we have a lot of new roads and we're able to defer those a little bit longer. So I'm happy with the funding scenarios. I do want to look at it every year. I'm worried about that. I want to make sure we don't have any, like Councillor Drake mentioned, any huge spikes in the industry that cause a hiccup in that. But barring any of that stuff and a standard inflationary rate, I think that we should be okay.
Councillor Golubee and then Councillor Sherman.
So what I'm hearing you say is scenario 3 is, in your opinion, the best scenario for us to
adopt. That's the one that I would recommend going with.
And as someone who does plan on being on the city council in 10 years and looking at this, I have to say I'm extremely happy to see that we can maintain what we have, given the fact that my business is in Portland and I can't tell you how many of our vehicles have blown tires out on the city streets there. I am very thankful to see that our city is managing this asset responsibly. So I'm very pleased to see this.
Councilor Sherman.
If we did look under the mattress and came up with $3 million additional dollars in year one, would scenario one be attractive to us? Is that a way of kind of, in some fashion, insulating against future inflation?
I think barring any increases to something that we weren't discussing, and obviously, the TMF is kind of off the table at this point for increasing that, but you know, obviously we're building, we're having tremendous revenue from the growth, and maybe there's a management tool to that, and I would leave that up to the management to bring it back to us to say, hey, guess what we found over here, and bring it to us, and is this a priority for us? One, we know it is. Two, we know it's our greatest asset in an entire budget, and three, then we want to direct it to that. So I think it's a
And just a quick response to that, it's just priorities.
Yeah.
Right.
We could find $3 million. But do you want a public works facility?
Yeah.
Do you want parks?
It's just going to be a priority.
You know
sacrifice?
What I'm saying?
Of course.
So.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a question for Joel.
Yeah.
So many of our streets are new, like you're saying. A lot of them had the 100 rating. And we're looking at a 10-year vision here. when do we start seeing, and what would that look like when we start getting those roads at 20 years old? Would it be a big bubble of expense that we need? Should we be picking away at that, I guess?
Well, it depends on how you treat them between now and then. Are you going to have a preventive maintenance plan that's going to put slurry seals on those streets and preserve them and keep the water and the UV rays off that pavement? If you have a very aggressive slurry seal program, then those streets, you can stagger it, and so it doesn't, so all become due at one time. So I would definitely, you guys do have a slurry seal program here, right?
We have a one-inch Dunlap overlay program, and soon to have a slurry seal program.
Oh,
yes.
I banged heads with Chris on this.
Joel, thank you for filling me in on that one.
Yeah, it really is the way to go, and I know I've had this discussion with Chris before, and he's kind of like, I don't know about it, but I think the one thing, if I came away from this project, that I would recommend to the city is a slurry seal program. You need to slurry seal your streets. You've got to preserve that pavement. You have to. Just leaving them sitting there and waiting until they deteriorate to the point where you're repaving them is a very cost prohibitive way of maintaining your streets. So every city around you guys is doing it. Why aren't you? And that's really kind of where we're at. So it's...
Well, I'll let you two battle this out.
Yeah, we battle this out.
We'll battle this out. You have to understand, too, that all we've had for a program is an arterial and collector paving program.
Sure.
We have not done any residential street maintenance outside of a crack seal program that we've had that I implemented when I first got here. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really had the resources to look at those other options. But Carol and I are getting in the know of quickly on how that looks into the future for us.
But you could agree there's a goal.
Yes.
There's a couple streets up by my house that I see.
Okay.
Anyway, here it comes.
We're on the record.
We are.
All streets in the city are good.
But those streets are so not used. I mean, the traffic volume on those two streets up on top, on Scott, they're yellow, are just, you know, 5 cars a day, 10. I mean, it's just nothing. The garbage truck, like you said, goes up and down once a week.
You do realize the garbage truck, one trip of the garbage truck is the equivalent of 10,000 vehicles?
Yep.
Okay, then really? There's 10,000 vehicles.
Really? There's a thing called the EASL, and equivalent single axle loading. And one trip on the garbage truck is the same as 10,000 cars.
Carol and I have been discussing that with all the development that we have going on
it's
our
huge.
Major collectors.
All our dump trucks. And
it's huge.
Yep. Yeah.
I was just going to talk
about... Council President Ellis?
On my street, they're doing that, and those are tandem, those big tandem dump trucks, and I don't know how many a day are is, but it's got to be 50 on that one street, so I don't know how many cars a day those are, but it's kind of making me nervous on Pebble Beach.
So on, over time, obviously we can get, you know, a lower PCI quicker, obviously. That's in the program, right? We bought a good program. It's
yes,
in the program.
Did.
Okay. That's what we have to think care about. We know we have a good program. We know we have agreement on certain things, and we know we have a goal. And we know we have a management goal to manage the funds. Any other further questions to move on? Comments?
I just have one comment I'd like to leave you with is the fact that you guys have a great, a wonderful city here. I really enjoyed working here. I work in a lot of cities, and I, you know, get cussed at and swerved at and everything else. And this was the nicest people I've ever met in this city. Everybody.
Would you like to move here?
No, I don't like anything about the Portland area. You know, you guys have these 205 and these things like that. Where I live in Salem, if you have to wait one light, then you're in a traffic jam. So I love Salem, but just outside of Salem. But nicest people I've ever met. I really enjoyed working here. And the staff, and Chris and Carol's staff, are wonderful people to work with. I've never worked with such nice people and easy to work with people. And they were all responsive to our request. And Paul's not here, is he?
No.
And he was wonderful to work with as well. So, but I just wanted to let you know that you have a very good public works staff, and I really enjoyed working with them. And the last thing is that you guys have such a great street network right now. Some of our clients will set a target, and for someone who's young like yourself, who could very well be on the city council in 10 years, we knew what the PCI was 10 years ago. We'd like to keep that PCI like it is. A lot of cities have written that into their charter and into their policy that we are going to not drop below a certain PCI point.
Okay.
And you put that out there so that all the folks that follow you will now be under the gun to, hey, we've got to keep our streets in good condition. So it's just a thought I'll throw out there to you guys, something
okay.
to
well,
chew on.
Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For the hard work. We'll
you
see you.
You
come back
thank
anytime.
Oh, thank
lots
you.
Lots of
I will.
Great events for you to come visit.
Oh, I do come to Happy Valley sometimes. A couple of my favorite restaurants are here. So.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate it, and you're not surprising us with your comments. We believe our staff is pretty good too. So thank you.
Great, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
So let's move on to electric mobility device charging stations. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. Councillor Drake asked for this to be put on the agenda. Sent out an email with a little bit of background of conversations you had had. Staff also had the opportunity to do a little bit of research, so Chris took a look at it. These devices appear to be about $450 each. Might take a little bit more money to actually hardwire them. Looks fairly simple, and if it's something the council's interested in, we could run it by Parks Advisory Committee and talk about locations and maybe move forward with a couple.
Comments?
Well, first off, thank you for putting it on the agenda on such short notice, getting this out there. This was brought to my attention by Sonia Fisher, Commissioner Fisher, about that they're doing that in the county, in Parks, Barton Park they're starting with. And then I talked to staff at Mullen County, and these things, I didn't know anything about until Sonia mentioned them, about the county board, and Multnomah County is doing the same thing. They're putting them in buildings, and it's just so that people in chairs, mobility issues, if their batteries run out, they're kind of left high and dry. And it's a real issue for them, and these quick charging stations allows them at least a point they can charge up and still remain mobile. So it's a really good, I think, good deal for the disability community.
Okay, comments? Councilor Sherman.
I mean, I like the concept, and I think it definitely builds goodwill in the community. I think this is a perfect item to have Parks Advisor review, mm-hmm. make a recommendation, you know, take kind of put it in the broad context of how what we're doing out there and bring it right back up to council if they choose to. It'd be great.
Well, I think I'd prefer to not bring it back to council.
Oh, okay.
Whether we're moving, I mean, unless it becomes so weird and cost prohibitive. If we think this is a good idea, I'd rather take it to Parks and let Parks and hey, let's just get it done and bring it back, rather than now we're gonna go back. I mean, that doesn't make
sense to me. On the scale of things, this is budget dust.
Right.
So.
Call it decimal dust.
Well.
Decimal dust. For a good purpose.
We don't like to waste dust if there's no need. We see a need, we know that that's something that we can offer to the community. It's a good, obviously other people are doing it and it's good, so. I think it's well served if there's a need and we're going to spend the money. Councilor Gallaby?
So my first question, are you suggesting only doing one of these charging stations? I did read that they can be easily moved to other locations, but are you seeing that we just do one of these, or are you...
No, actually I think leave it with Parks is a good idea, but you could put a couple in the parks by the bathrooms because they have electricity, and then other people are putting them in like City Hall, library, I mean, those are all possible locations you could put these.
I have no idea. I'm comfortable, you know, I don't know. Whatever is a I'm sure there's a recommendation for size of a city, I mean, I'm sure there's parameters of best locations, best use, and I would imagine if we think it's a good idea, click it over to the group. Council President.
I think we should just leave it up to the parks.
Yeah.
As long as they don't say we need 100 of them.
But they're going to need direction. They're going to need direction from the staff about where. I mean, they're not going to go out and do the research about where cities put these.
Right.
Where is the best use?
I have a suggestion.
So
why don't we take
work.
It to Parks Advisory with some sideboards, maybe two in the park to start with.
Mm-hmm.
If they're utilized and there's a big demand, maybe add a couple more later years. We can also then maybe consider one at the library.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
So we're talking about less than $3,000, less than $2,000.
Sounds good.
I reached out to County Parks, and they're doing exactly that model. They're starting with their park systems, and they're going to go from there based on what they hear from feedback, and so far it's been really positive. So
good.
That's what information I know. Perfect sideboards.
Okay. I don't have any objection. Okay. Good job. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you.
All right. We'll adjourn, and we'll come back to our meeting.